Jesus loves me. This I know. The Bible tells me so. I've been told that since I was a wee lad. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We've heard it over and over and over and over again. But we stand on the word. Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so. Whether I feel it, whether I believe it, doesn't matter. There's a little ditty I always talk about. I don't care whether you believe in God or not, he exists. It doesn't matter whether you believe in gravity or not. If you step out a window, you're going to go down. Truth is truth. The Bible is truth. And that's what I stand on. Jesus loves me, this I know. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves you, whether you know it or not, whether you feel it or not, Jesus loves you. I should have practiced with this thing. I've been praying, I bug Corey all the time about let me preach. And the last time I preached, if you were here, I talked about a dead chicken. And some people still refer to me as the chicken man. So maybe we can change that today. But I thought about, what is it that God would want me to share with you guys? And I had something way over here. And I started studying and I started praying and it evolved and it evolved and it evolved and it came over here. And I said, God, really? Jesus loves me, this I know. I want to share with you today, basically, God's love. I grew up in the 60s, and love was weird in the 60s. Love got way out of bounds in the 60s, and it just has kept going. So I was nervous about talking about God's love, because it can be abused. But almost anything can be abused. God said, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. The greatest commandment, Jesus said, is you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. That's the greatest commandment, to love God. Period. Jesus said, all the other, hang on that. He said, the second is like unto it. But all the other commandments hang on these two. Love God with all your heart. That's the greatest commandment. Let me go back a second. There's a story behind this slide, too. The next couple slides fits in here. This picture was taken from my bedroom window. I live out in the country. I have a beautiful view. Every morning I can wake up and I can look out over this valley. A lot of times there's a mist. God reminds me my life is just like a vapor. If I look out the window 2 seconds later, that vapor can be gone. This picture was taken from my bathroom window 2 weeks ago. It's gorgeous. I'm reminded of God's love. But I also recognize, sometimes I don't even see that. I wake up every morning and I can look out the window. And I can see God's beautiful creation. But there are times when I don't see it. It's there. I know it's there. And I just sort of ignore it. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. You all know that. We sang about it. His love never fails. It never gives up. So how can we be awaken to that? I mean, that's what when I became a Christian, that's what transformed me. God loved me. I was ugly. I was horrible. I did horrible things. I was evil. And God loved me. God's love can transform you. I'm afraid, this is a favorite verse of mine, I'm afraid, though, that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your mind would be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. I don't have fancy doctrine for you today. I don't have anything new for you today. All I have to share with you is God's love. If the Holy Spirit can speak that to your heart, it will transform everything. God loves you intimately. This was taken from this is the last one. You ain't got to see any more pictures of my house. This was taken from my kitchen. But we're back to love. God just blew my mind. I've been a Christian for a long time. And this is what he gave me for you guys, just this simple message. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Corey's going to be teaching through Corinthians. He started last week. There's a portion in there that chapter 13 talks a lot about love. The greatest thing in the universe is love. We're to love one another. We're to love God with all our might. God loves us. If we're motivated by anything else, it's a wrong motive. If we're doing anything not out of love, it's worthless. Here's a thing that blows my mind. God proved his love. He proved it. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It tells me. But God proved it. We have proof. God proved his love for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Whew. It's not when I got my act together. It's not when I cleaned up my act. I stopped doing stuff that I knew was wrong. God loved me when I was ugly, when I was evil. We all have heard John 3:16. Most of us have heard it. If you've been around Christianity at all, this is like, wow, the big one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to die. When I look at the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them? Mortals that you care for them, yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with the glory and honor. God determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord, and abundant in power, and understanding is beyond measure. When I look out at the heavens, it says all of creation declares the glory of God. There's no excuse. If you look at the heavens and you don't see God, I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know if you saw, I don't look at the news much, but I was, one day this week, I Googled Google News, and they had pictures. Did anybody see pictures from Mars? The Mars rover took a picture, and on the horizon you see the Mars landscape, and in the distance you see a little blue speck. I said, that's Earth. It made me feel, I look at the heavens, I look at God's creation, I look at the vastness of the universe, and I'm like, who am I? It makes me feel really small. And then not only am I really small and puny, I'm a sinner. I've done ugly things. I've done horrible things. Yet the creator of the universe loves me. He loved me so much that he sent his son to die on the cross. We've heard that over and over and over. It's like the view that I have outside my window. I forget about it. I forget the price that God paid to reconcile me to him. I couldn't do it on my own. There's nothing I could do to make it right. I did ugly stuff. I did horrible stuff. But God loved me. I'm not a big mathematician. I don't joke. It's a true statement. I have 7 kids, and they're all smarter than me. But I have more wisdom, just so you know. But there's something in this verse that motivates me. We love because he first loved us. God proved his love. We saw that. There's a verse that says God proved his love. 2,000 years ago on a cross, while I was still a sinner, God became a man, left his throne in glory, and took on flesh. He was beaten, bruised, spit upon, mocked, and hung on a tree to die a horrible death in my place. I deserved that. Can I walk over there? Will the mic work okay if I go over there? As I've been studying and preparing this message, I couldn't escape the cross. It too became scenery for me. It's a symbol of my Christianity. But when I stop and I think about what happened here, the creator of the universe, the most, there's not words, the most awesome, incredible, outside of the universe, I mean, he created, he numbers, he named the stars, the most awesome being ever, hung his son on a cross to pay for my sins. That's how much he loves me. I didn't deserve that. How can we look at that and not love him? Scripture says we love him because he first loved us. So here's this math equation that I have. I have this premise, if you don't love God, or to the extent that you do love God, it's proportional to how much you realize he loves you. I don't know how far to take this, but I think it's true. I think if there are people around me, people in our community, people that at work, if they don't love God, it's because they don't realize how much he loves them. Now, I understand sin. I understand that we should exhort one another to live right. I don't think the church does that enough today. But love is the greatest thing that we have to offer and share. The people around us, if they don't love God, it's because they haven't seen the cross. They don't realize how much God loves them. If you don't love God, with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength today, I believe it's because you haven't looked at the cross hard enough. So I thought about this. I thought, how can we look at the cross and not love God? How can that become scenery to us? I'm big on parables, hence the chicken. And if you weren't here for the chicken, you don't know what I'm talking about. I'm sorry. But I do think there is an aspect, and we talked about this in the basics class. If you experience you, Corey talked about that during the announcements. You can sign up for it. In the basics class, I used this example. And I think it can relate, it gives me a picture, a glimpse of maybe why sometimes I doubt whether God loves me or not. Because I'm a sinner. I've done horrible things. I was evil. Why would God love me? How could he love me with the stuff that I've done? I have this box. And this box is really special to me. It's not real fancy. It's made out of cherry wood. It's got miter joints. It's not real fancy. It's got a cross-stitch picture on the front. I made this box, but it's not real challenging. It was pretty simple to make. But you couldn't buy this box from me. I would not sell this box for $1 million. Partly, not partly because I made it, although that's part of my illustration. This box is special to me because I made it. It has value to me because I made it. It's special to me because it's mine. It's special, it has additional special meaning because I didn't do this cross stitch. This box, there's a date on this cross stitch. It says 1994. It's 20 years old. My wife did this cross stitch. And those of you who know me know that my wife passed away 9 years ago. So this box has a lot of meaning to me. My wife made this, and I made the box. That illustration, the point I want to make to you is, yeah, you're a sinner. You've done probably some stuff like I have. But God loves you. Why? Because he made you. Because you're his. Because his fingerprints are on you. He loves you so much. You know, it's always interesting to me, the scripture that says, don't call your brother a fool, Raka. Why? What's the big deal about that? You know why? Because God made that person. Don't tell me this box is ugly. I'll punch you in the nose. If you're married, somebody says, oh, your wife is a jerk. Boom. Why? Because you love them. Don't call your brother a fool because God made that fool. That fool is special to God. God loves that fool. God loves you, not because of what you've done, good or bad. God loves you because he made you. You're his. Sin is a horrible thing. God has been teaching me compassion over the last year or so. Because I used to be a little hard in my Christianity. Probably still am. God's still working on me. But I would look at people and I would judge them because of choices that they had made, because of sin in their life. Well, yeah, there's sin in your life. You're reaping the consequences of that. God has really taken me to the woodshed on that because he loves us. When Jesus looks at us, he has compassion. Because when Jesus looks at us, he doesn't look at the sin. When Jesus sees sin, he gets mad because he sees what it's done to us. Jesus sees, I created this beautiful creation. I created this incredible person. And sin has scarred them. Sin has maimed them. Sin has robbed them from the potential that I've given them. He can restore that if we repent and turn back to him. But when Jesus sees us, he loves us not because of what we've done, not because of who we are, but because he made us. Wherever you are, whatever you've done, doesn't matter. You're a unique individual created by the creator of the universe that has named the stars. Whew. There's another thing. This is an interesting story to me in Scripture. And there are some other reasons where sometimes I think we doubt God's love. Several years ago, God gave me this illustration from Scripture. He said, these are the most hurtful words ever spoken in the history of the universe. And as a Christian, I've spoken these words. As a Christian, there are times in my walk when I say these words. And there arose a great, we all know this story. Most of us know this story, if you've been around a little bit. And there arose a great storm of wind and wave, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he, Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They were in a boat with Jesus. They knew he was the Son of God, or that they were following him because they believed that he was the Son of God, the Savior, the Redeemer. They'd seen miracles. And in fact, when the storm arose, what did they do? They woke him up. I guess they thought he could do something about the storm. Now, when he did, they were amazed, but that's the way we are. You know, when a storm arises in our life, hopefully we go to Jesus. We call upon Jesus. And sometimes he calms the storm. And we're, oh, wow, he did. But we also, when a storm arises in our life, we say, God, don't you care? Don't you care? I got to go back over here. A storm arose. And they asked Jesus. Jesus hadn't died on a cross yet, so I'll give them some grace. But the creator of the universe gave up his throne in heaven, took on sinful flesh, and we beat him to death. We hung him on a cross. He bled. This is ugly. Before I was a Christian, I could look at the cross. I went to church. I was drugged to church, and I went through, it was an Episcopal church, and I went through confirmation, and I could recite from memory, rote memory, the Apostles' Creed. And I said that I believed in Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. I can't say that anymore. It used to be like, you know, reading in a newspaper, you know, that somebody died in an automobile accident. You say, oh, that's terrible. As you read in a newspaper that somebody you know died, it rips your heart out. To say that he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, rips my heart out. He did that for me. He did that for me. How can I say, God, don't you care that such and such is going on? He loves you. He does care. He cared enough to bleed on a cross. Jesus' response was, he got up. You know, when we're going through something, when we're going through whatever it is, and life can be pretty ugly. I don't want to make light of some of the stuff we have to go through. Jesus is asleep on a pillow. I'd seen this. I've had this, the most hurtful words in the universe for years. But as I studied for this lesson, I hadn't seen that he was asleep on a pillow. What was a pillow doing in a boat? But he got up and he said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? I looked at faith and trust. I think faith and trust are intertwined. I can't separate them. Put my faith, my hope, and my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he loves me, because he proved it. Here's another. I'm going to share part of my testimony, and I may have shared this the last time I spoke. This is who I am. This is who my God is. When my wife died, I was in the hospital with her. And 12 hours before she passed away, I sat by the bedside and I prayed for her. And I was praying for her. She wasn't responsive. And I can tell you, as surely as I speak to you today, the Creator of the universe spoke to me. And he said, do you trust me? It'll be 9 years, March 2nd. I can tell you I still trust him. In that hospital room, I said, God, I trust you. I have 7 kids. I trust you with my kids. I trust you with my wife. I told you my kids are smarter than me. I'm not the smartest person in the room. I didn't know she was dying. We thought she was going to get better. Anyway. 12 hours later, God took her home. He said, do you trust me? So the real question for me is not whether God loves me, because I have the cross. He proved he loved me. He proved it. Nothing in the universe, nothing on this planet, there's nothing. I can tell you this. Nothing can convince me or persuade me from the fact that Jesus loves me. Nothing. Bring it on. Nothing can persuade me from the fact that God loves me. The question is, do I love him? Jesus proved his love. There's no question about that. The question is, do I love him? I said, I love him because he first loved me. To the extent that I see God loves me, my love for him grows. Scripture says, now, for the love of Christ controls us. I'm learning. I'm still growing in this. A couple months ago, there was a situation in my life I was freaking out about. And I don't like it a lot of times when people say, God told me this, or God told me that, or God told me to tell you this. That one's really scary. We can get too religious, and I hate religion. I hate religion. But I was going through this thing. I had my own little storm going on. And God, not like in the hospital, but God said to me, you're not trusting me. I went, whoa. I'm big on trust. 9 years ago, for 9 years, that statement, do you trust me, has gotten me through. So I'm not arrived. I still need to learn to trust him and stuff. There's still stuff that goes on this planet that I don't understand. But I have an advantage. I'm not that smart. And so when I don't understand what God's doing, it's not a problem. Because he does. He's smarter than me. He created the universe. He's a smart guy. And so when I don't understand, you know what the problem is? I don't understand. That's it, simple. I have complete, total trust that he knows what he's doing. His word tells me that. I don't doubt his love. What I have to do is learn to put that into practice. I need to learn how to trust him. This was too long to fit on a slide, and I don't know that I'm going to read the whole thing. Matthew 6, 24, it does start in 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. For this reason, I tell you, don't be anxious for your life, as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor do they gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they are? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to your lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow and do not toil, nor do they spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of those. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows what you need, that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. It's God's word. What is it that we're anxious about? What is it? What in your life is stressing you out? What is the storm in your life right now? What challenges are you or your family or a loved one facing? I find it interesting, too, that we know this verse. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything give thanks, and let your requests be known to God. But our emotions, they grab a hold of us. We're tempted not to trust in God. So I'm still trying to figure out. I have the cross. I have an audible question from God. Do you trust me? And there are times that I don't. So the question is, why? This is an important one for me. This has been in my toolbox from when I first became a Christian. And if you're a Christian here today, you probably know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You may not know that's the address. I'm terrible with addresses, but this is one of the few that I know the address of. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. I like this one because it speaks to me. I like the second part there. Lean not on your own understanding. I don't understand what you're doing, God. I don't have to. He's smarter than me. He holds the universe together with his word. I don't have to understand what he's doing. All I have to do is trust him with all my heart. How do I trust him with all my heart? I trust him with all my heart because I know he loves me. How do I know he loves me? He proved it on the cross. So if I'm not trusting, I'm talking to me, if I'm not trusting, it's because I'm not looking at the cross. I've been distracted. I'm not seeking after his kingdom. Maybe I'm not living the life that I'm supposed to live. I'm not seeking after righteousness. Maybe I'm serving two masters. Here's another reason why I think maybe, sometimes, if I have an excuse, if I'm looking for an excuse, why don't I trust God? I have the cross. Why don't I trust him? I have taken liberty with this verse. I tell people, everybody tells me, if you're going through something, they'll tell you God's timing is perfect. That doesn't help me. If I'm going through something and God's not answering or he's quiet or whatever else, God's timing is perfect. Well, it doesn't seem real perfect right now. I like this verse. This is my verse. This is not a verse. God's timing stinketh. It's taken from the King James. Jesus said, when Lazarus died, Mary and Martha, they did the right thing. They prayed. In their time, they called Jesus. They sent word to Jesus. Come. Lazarus is sick. Come. Jesus didn't go. He purposely didn't go. It's not that he was delayed. It's not that he got tied up. He didn't go. When he showed up, he said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him, Lazarus, that was dead, said to him, Jesus, by this time he stinketh. He's been in there 4 days. We don't want to move that stone. Jesus, your timing stinks. You showed up too late. I think religion has sold us a bill of goods. We think God's just this genie in a bottle and we can pray. Whatever we ask for, I know there's scriptures. I stand on the word. But God's not a genie in a bottle that we can just snap our fingers and tell him what we want. He's smarter than we are. He has a plan. He loves you, and he has a plan for your life, and it's a perfect plan. His timing is perfect. But sometimes it seems to us it stinketh. So when God's timing in your life stinketh, I'd encourage you, look at the cross and know that he loves you. Nothing on this planet can persuade me of that. I'm getting near the end. God proved his love for us. We've seen that. How do I prove my love for him? I can trust him. But Jesus put it really simply. In John 14, 15, he said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments." That's how I can show Jesus I love him. I'm not legalistic. I don't believe I have a legalistic bone in my body. But I study the word because I love Jesus and I want to know how I can please him. I had a phenomenal marriage. I loved my wife and she loved me. I did everything for my wife because I loved her. I figure out what made her happy. I loved her. I love Jesus. What makes him happy? I'm not doing it because I want him to love me. I'm doing it because I love him. He said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." I've been a Christian for years. The thing that I've learned, the most important thing that I can tell you about Christianity, is that it's nothing more, nothing less than a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you love him, you will follow him. If you love him, you will keep his commandments. If you love him, you will try to find out what you can do to please him. But you won't do that unless you see the cross. You'll love him because he loves you. That's that math thing. We love because he first loved us. If you want to fall in love more with Jesus, go back to the cross. James said, faith without works is dead. Again, I'm not being legalistic here, but there has to be a response to God's love. This was the 60s thing that I didn't want to get into. You know, God's love just covers everything, and love, 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 and oh, I love God, but I'm sleeping with my boyfriend. Or I love God, but I'm cheating on my taxes. Or no. No. When you see what God did because of the sin in your life, there needs to be repentance. There needs to be a change. I'm big on grace, but not the way most people are big on grace. Strong's Bible Dictionary defines grace as the divine influence upon the heart that's reflected in the life. I'm saved by grace. I'm saved by the divine influence on my heart that is then reflected in my life through works. Because if I don't have works, if there's not something coming out of my faith, if my faith doesn't have feet, my faith is dead. What good is it if you say you have faith but you do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. This church is awesome. You guys are awesome. Because you love the Lord. And it shows. This church has works. We have authentic worship. We have authentic community. And we have authentic community service. That's why we're here. That's why I'm here. God is moving in this place. And how is God moving? Through you. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. We're going to have communion like we do every week. But today, before you take communion, if you would, don't take communion and let it just be scenery. Don't take the bread that symbolizes the body of Christ that was broken, was beaten, was tortured. His body, they whipped the flesh off the back, off his back. They drove nails through his hands. Have you ever hit your hand, your thumb with a hammer? How? I have. They drove nails through his arm, through his hands, through his feet. The blood, Jesus' blood, our society has removed itself from blood. I live on a farm. Talked about chicken last time. I've butchered chickens. It's bloody. When you partake of communion today, don't get lost in the scenery. Let God speak to you. Let that bread and that juice love you. Just pray with me. Oh God, how we love you. Jesus, you gave up divinity to come down and hang on a cross, to take on flesh, because you loved me. You paid for my sins, Lord. Father, I repent from anything in my heart that's not from you. Lord, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, may we walk in you. Father, direct our steps. Father, may we love you and trust you.